To John chapter 1 John chapter 4 this morning. 1 John chapter 4. We're in part 6 of the series Believing You're Loved, and I want to talk about abiding love today. I hope that over this few weeks that you are getting filled up with love, because there's something that we're not supposed to just keep it to ourselves. We're supposed to do something with it. That's going to come later in the context of this passage. But I just feel that that I just need to camp here and just hang here until you can truly believe that you're loved by God wholly and thoroughly and fully. Because when you do that, you are going to be the most free person. You're going to have the most joy. You're going to have the most peace in your life when you can truly believe you're loved. It's amazing. And that's the goal. So let's look at the scriptures. Three verses this morning is all we're going to look at. In verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect or mature in love. Father, this morning as we study your word, I pray your Holy Spirit would be our teacher. I pray your Holy Spirit would, as the scripture says, just pour love into our hearts right now. Just pour it in. And may we just from your word, from your promise, from your covenant, Lord, just grasp and understand your intent in every one of our hearts. In your name, amen. Years ago, people would go to the bank, the grocery store, or some retail shop. And oftentimes, the same person would wait on them. You could just count on it. You go there, you know them by name, and they would be there and they would work on you. The workers would stay and they would remain. Often people would go and they'd stay at a job for they'd have one or two jobs their entire life. Today, when we go to the grocery store, the bank, the doctor's office, the retail establishment, if you are just slightly observant, you will notice the same workers rarely stay or remain. They are constantly changing. And good for those who move for a better paying job, got a better job, a promotion, or a job that fit them better. Good for all of those. But experts say that now most people will work five jobs in their lifetime, or better to say, five careers in their lifetime. That's a lot of change. Is it possible that as we view life changes, we view God through those changes? Maybe those of past generations viewed God as an abiding and a remaining presence because they could see that through the lens of everyday life. They saw a constant God through everyday life. Last week I dealt with the fear. We learned in this last phrase, it says, he who fears has not been made mature in love. Last week, I talked about the fear of the future. And so I want to zero in, and I want to work on this morning the fear of being abandoned. So if you missed last Sunday morning, and you're concerned with your future, you're concerned with the future, and so last Sunday, we worked on that and how God's love can sustain you into the future. Just listen to that online on our church website, and you can catch that there. But this morning, I want to talk about and address this fear that God is going to abandon you. Here's what happens. When we face hard times, there's something in us that said, God, somehow you left me. Anybody ever been there? God, where are you? And we don't maybe verbalize it out loud, but it's in there. And we think that. Or you sense that God comes and goes as he pleases in your life. Ever since that. Maybe he's here, maybe he's not. There are pains that go with divorce. Some of you in this room have walked this path. You have either been a child where your parents divorced, or you are an adult in this room that has faced it and walked through that. There's a lot of difficulties and pain in the pain of abandonment, the pain that relationships in your life will never be the same. But here is perhaps one of the most difficult, even though unspoken at times. And it's even hard to put into words. Through a divorce, for each spouse and kid, the remaining, staying, and residing nature of God's love is put into question. Listen to this. The remaining, staying, residing essence of God's nature is thrown into question. And we deal with that. Can something remain the same? Can something say, and my heart goes out to all of you who've walked that path, and thank the Lord, we can survive that, and we can walk through that and survive after. I understand that. But there's something that is this remaining essence that is taken in those situations. So today, do you view God through this fickle, unsteady, maybe here, maybe not, maybe coming, maybe going, maybe staying, maybe leaving point of view? And unintentionally, it skews our view of God's love for you. This morning, I want to lay out some truths about God and his love for you. Here's one of God's attributes. It's this. God never changes. It says in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord and I do not change. Even though a lot of things around our life changes, that is not a signal of who God is or one of his attributes. God is creator, God is infinite, God is everlasting, God is eternal, God is love, God abides, God remains, and God stays. Our text uses this word that we must investigate this morning if we want to grow in this sense of his deep love for us. It's in verse 15, and look at here in your Bible, it says this, God abides in us. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Or in verse 16, the last part, it says, last half of the verse, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God. Now look at this, and God in him. So I'm not talking about the essence of where we're abiding in God. That is man-centered. That is us-dependent. I'm talking about the part where God abides in you. It's God-dependent. If you're going to understand God's constant love, you've got to understand his action towards your life. The text says that if we confess Jesus as the Son of God and abide in his love, this text says, God abides in you. How many of you confess Jesus in your life? You confess Jesus. I believe it. He is not like the worker at the bank, the doctor's office, the grocery store, or the spouse, or the parent who left you. He is an abiding force. The Greek word here is the word meno, M-E-N-O. And it means, it's 45 times in the New Testament. There's no other equivalent word to it in the New Testament. And it means these three words, to remain, to stay, and reside. Can we just say these words right now? Remain, stay, and reside. Abide. And he's saying here, God is remaining, he's staying, and he's residing in you. That's good news today. Can we say amen? That is good news. Now, in the Webster Dictionary, the definition of this word abide is to endure without yielding, to remain stable or fixed in a state. When John writes that you can know and believe the love that God has for us, it means that his love is going to remain, it's going to stay, and it's going to reside in you. Sometimes churches are rolling with change. We all, churches change. We change churches sometimes. But God remains constant. So think about this. Go back to the beginning of your Bible, Genesis chapter 1. When God, if you read Genesis chapter 1, and God created the light, the day, the sun, the moon, the stars, all kinds of different plants, all kinds of different fruits, all kinds of beautiful animals, and his treasure, people, men and women, children, he created. Can I tell you that in everything in Genesis 1 that God created in structure is still with us all today? Because that's who God is. It has not changed. Man, there was a time in my life, my life got rocky. I experienced depression the first time I was in college. You've been around this church before, you've heard me tell the story. Man, I was rocked. I was just out of sorts. And I said, God, I don't even know where to go in the Bible. I hope I find an answer. I'll start at Genesis 1:1. And I started reading my Bible. I didn't have to get past chapter 1 because God, after everything that he created, and if you notice, if you read chapter, it says God created the sun and the moon and the stars, and it was good. And he created vegetation. It was good. He created man, and it was very good. And guess what? I'd made a mess out of my own life. I had a crazy schedule. My schedule was out of control. I did it to myself. God didn't do it. He was constant. He was there. Everything that he created, the beauty he created, it was all there. I'd messed everything up myself. He is steady. He is there. So let me just talk about, in the few minutes I've got, three concepts to understand this abiding presence of God in your life. Number one is the abiding love of God is steadfast. The abiding love of God is steadfast. We don't want to use these words, and I want to tell you, I'm going to use biblical words for this. I could use more contemporary words, but they don't do justice to the understanding of this. We use these words sometimes in our contemporary language, but the biblical words breathe out the truth much deeper. The definition of the steadfast is this. It means firmly fixed in place, immovable, not subject to change, and in a relational sense, loyal. Loyal. So we think about that. God being loyal to you. We like that quality, don't we? God being loyal to you. What do you think of when you think of steadfast? I don't know what kind of, some of you have a house, some of you live in an apartment. So we think about foundation. Some of you live in a house that's got maybe a slab. Some of you have a poured walls. If you go down in the basement and they've been poured into foundational structures and they've made a poured wall to be the foundation. Some are block in their foundation. But I want to tell you, those foundations, however they are, or even in your apartment building, you live in an apartment, if you look underneath, I mean, they go deep, they are broad, and those things are immovable. In fact, sometimes they're so removable. If the house comes down 80 or 100 years later, those things are just buried underground. They're broken up because they are solid. They're steadfast. Houses last 80 to 100 years or more. Office buildings, roads, whether asphalt or concrete. Man, if you go out on Highway 41 or Highway 43 out here, they are just sheets of concrete, and they are steadfast, they are fixed, they're immovable. I mean, I suppose some smart person out there is going to say, Pastor, they can blow them up. I get it, okay? Don't be thinking too hard this morning, okay? Big trees in your yard. Hey, have you ever, last year we did this perennial garden. My wife and I are not two green thumbs at all, and the people we bought the house from years ago, they left a perennial garden, and we've had a perennial garden of weeds is what we've had. And the last year I was trying to clean up this perennial garden, so I just turned it into grass and mow it. And so I got there was some little thing in there. Man, I'm just pulling with all my might, and it was just this little skinny thing like this. I could not get that out for the life of me, and that thing was so steadfast in the ground. You ever been there? And you think you're so tough and so strong, and we can get that, and they're just stuck. They're steadfast. How would you say that mountains are pretty steadfast? They're pretty there. The Colorado Mountains, or mountains all over the U.S., or the Utah Mountains that Pastor Arnie loves and Chad loves and all those guys love. Or the Himalayan Mountains that's come a part of our life in India now. Mountains. You think so? Here's my question. Would you believe me if I told you that God's steadfast love abiding you is more immovable than a mountain? Would you believe me? Can I prove it? Look at this scripture on the screen. Watch this. Look at this. Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains may depart and the hills may be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you. Whoa! Is that not incredible? And my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Take that to the bank. He says, a huge mountain, it can be flattened, it can be walked down, but he says, my steadfast love for you is more sturdy than any mountain you look at. That's incredible. If you don't hear any of the rest of this message, get that in your spirit and take that home with you this week. I love it. This is taking a characteristic like love in our life that seems subjective, and it makes it objective and concrete, fixed, steady, and sturdy. If you have your Bibles, hold your hand. We're going to come back here to 1 John 4 and go to Psalm 136. Go to Psalm 136, and I want to show you something that's pretty cool in your Bibles. The word we're going to look at in a moment here, I'm looking at New King James Version. You have several other versions that you're looking at. And Psalm 136, verse 1, just get there in your Bible, whether you get your electronic Bible or your regular Bible. It's incredible. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Verse 2, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, the God of gods." How many of you, I like that, he's the God of gods. There is many gods out there, but he is the God of all gods. He is the one true God, and I like how that's stated. Oh, how many of you know God's not confused, and we don't have to be confused either. There's only one God. "For his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever." Verse 4, "To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever." Do you get the essence of this? It's going to repeat this 26 more times. Go down to verse 25 and 26. "Who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever." Verse 26, "Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever." This word mercy is the word in the Old Testament, it's hesed. And in the Hebrew, you really got to put these words, these three words together. Mercy endures forever, and they define the essence of love. And so, how many of you, you're looking at a Bible version that has got a different word, doesn't have mercy, it has a love in it. How many of you got, raise your hand, look at that, okay? This is crazy. So I grabbed 9 other Bible translations to depict how they say this mercy endures forever. How did they pull it out? How did they interpret it? 9 different ways to try to get a grasp on these three words, his mercy endures forever. Because in the Hebrew, you can't just look at the one word, you got to look at all three of them. Look at this, English Standard Version. His steadfast love endures forever. Contemporary English Version, God's love never fails. ERV, it's an easy to read version. I like that one, okay? I can understand it. His faithful love will last forever. Good News Translation, his love is what? Eternal. Let's go, I got 4 more. Let's go. The International Standard Version, for his gracious love is everlasting. LEB, for his loyal love. Look at there, there's that word loyal. There's his loyal love endures forever. The Message, I like this. This is real plain. His love just never quits. Taylor Living Bible, his loving kindness lasts forever. New Living Translation, his faithful love endures forever. My point being, his love is steadfast for you as he abides in you. 26 times that's listed through Psalm 136. The abiding love of God is steadfast in you. It's a steady, loyal love, not emotional, not here today, gone tomorrow. God in you, his love is fixed and it's immovable in you. Number 2 this morning. Everybody doing okay this morning? Following? Number 2, the abiding love of God is faithful to you. When your circumstances, relationships, job, health, or finances are shaky, God in you and his love are not shaken. When your emotions are shaky, God in you and his love for you is not shaken. Anybody have that every once in a while? Your emotions get a little shaky? But God's not shaken. His love for you is not shaken. God is faithful to you with his love. Because why? He abides. God stays, he remains, he resides through all of your shaky situations in life, and we all have them. All of us. Now, God's faithfulness has to do with his actions towards you. This mercy of the Old Testament, this hesed of the Old Testament, this part of this word is not just an idea he has towards you, it's his actions toward you. I can define him in three ways: his provision, his protection and guidance, his promises, and his word. Let me just talk about his provision for a moment. Do you have need for provision in a job or finances today? The scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things he's going to take care of for you. He promises. It's his word. He'll take it. It might get a little tough sometimes. We've been through it. We went through the housing crisis. It gets tough. But you know what? I have found God is faithful. The psalmist says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. Here's what you got to do sometimes, what Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer. Lord, just give us today our daily bread. Can he get you through today? He'll get you through today. That's all we need. We don't need to worry about tomorrow. He's not abandoning you. He's going to see you through today. Lord, just today. That's all I'm asking for. He provides. His protection and guidance. You know, we have to have him to protect us. We have a little situation here in church. And these lights, these crazy lights, we got some electrical problem. And these three lights right here have been on for like a week. We've tried multiple attempts to get them off. We can't. And so yesterday I was in here. I'm saying, God, you got to protect our building. I don't want there to be a fire. We cannot figure out how to get the cotton picking things off. Somebody smart knows how to do it after church. Help us, okay? And so we got to deal with this. And we're going to go try to flip a breaker or something today to get them off. But I went home yesterday and I said, you know what, God? You got to protect our church. Because you know he will. We're all here this morning, aren't we? He took care of us. So this idea of protection and guidance, I think of, you know, I spoke to you in a last series from Exodus 14 about how God parted the way, parted the sea, and they went through. In chapter 15, Moses records these words in Exodus 15, 11 through 13. He says, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? So he's not just saying, I love you. He's doing things to back up his love for you. So for them, it says, you stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them, speaking of the Egyptians in the Red Sea. And look at this, verse 13. You have led in your steadfast, his remaining, staying, you led them. That action where he parted the sea and made a way for them and drowned their enemies, it says, you led them in your steadfast love, the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength. Can I just tell you in this room that God's love in your life is leading you, protecting you, guiding you. You don't know how many things he's kept out of your way that would have been an obstacle and been in your way because he's been protecting you and taking care of you. He did it for them. So his provision, his protection and guidance, his promises and his word. His love towards you is loyal and binding because he keeps his word. Now, think about this. God told Peter, he said to Peter, and the rest of us, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Well, we know Peter went through a little bout where he was a disciple. He denied the Lord. And then in, I think it's the end of John, he gets into this little conversation with Jesus. And Jesus asks him this question. Peter, do you love me? He asked him once. Peter, almost annoyed. And Jesus asks a second time, Peter, do you love me? A third time, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, oh yeah, of course I love you. Of course I love you. Of course I love you. Now I look at that story in a completely different way. It was not that Peter was saying, or Jesus was saying to Peter, do you love me? Jesus was saying to Peter, look at how much I love you. Even though you denied me, even though you said you're going to go with me to the death and look at you're denying me. Jesus takes Peter in his faithfulness and he takes Peter from his denial and he allows him to preach Pentecost when thousands of people came to know the Lord at Pentecost and used Peter mightily. He looks at Peter and he says, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And God used Peter mightily in watching over him. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, how many know it says he's faithful and just to forgive us? How many are glad that God's faithful to forgive us? When we mess up, we sin, even after becoming believers, he forgives us. The way that Jesus says this thing about his faithfulness and in his words, his promises. Let's talk about his promises for a moment. That simple little story we learned in Sunday school or in kids' church about the wise and the foolish builders. Some of you are more musical. Remember that song? A wise man built his house upon the rock, foolish man build his house upon the sand. They all came crashing down, and it's kind of a cool little song. Go to kids' church, you will learn it, okay? And Jesus was telling this parable. It says, those who put my words into practice are like the wise man who built his house upon a rock. Those who do not are like the person who built his house upon on the sand. What is God saying to us? He says, my words, my promises are worth building your the house, the foundation of your life. And what Chris just led us in that song, you build your life upon the firm foundation of love, it says in that song. He sang it a lot better than I just said it, okay? So to build our life on the firm foundation of God's love, his word, and his promises. Isaiah 48 says this, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Say it again. It's in Old Testament, New Testament. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God, God's promises, his covenant to us, are faithful. You can count on them. The words that we sing. I was telling Pastor Chris this morning, we came in, and I don't tell Chris, Pastor Chris, what songs to choose. He chooses great songs for us. And this week, we have a little program that's a computer program that we put stuff in so it can be communicated to any worship people setting up the words that you're reading. And so I looked at Pastor Chris's stuff, and he had one song on there for this Sunday. You know what that one song was? Yes and Amen. And that song, Yes and Amen, talks about the yes and amen to the promises of God. And it says, you are faithful, God. You are faithful. He didn't even know what I was preaching on, but he had the song in there by itself. I said, yes, God, you are so good. Chris hears from God. I don't know if I do, but Chris does, okay? And I'm just joking. Okay, so, but this idea, how many times in the music that we sing that we talk about God's provision, God's protection, God's promises that we talk about in his word? I love the gift of music. Is so. You guys sang so beautifully today. Church, keep it up. I just knelt down here. I said, God, let the people be the people of God. This has nothing to do with me standing here. It has to do with the people that you're becoming. When you're so doused with God's love, you know who he is in your life, that your response to God is your simple love back to him in song and in worship. But here's what I love, this verse in Zephaniah 3:17, little book of the Old Testament. It says this, the Lord your God is in the midst, in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I love that verse. He's going to quiet you with his love. And he is, in turn, is going to rejoice over you with singing. Zephaniah 3:17, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. So, God, his abiding love is steadfast. His abiding love is faithful. Number three, his abiding love is eternal. How do we get a grasp on this idea of God's abiding love being eternal? That's a hard word for us to understand. I'll pick on my phone. And in fact, Adam Thurman was in my office this morning, and he and I are shooting the breeze. He just started first grade, and we're having a great conversation before church. And he was showing me this cool pen that he's got a light, and he's got a screwdriver in it, and he's got a compass on it. And I said, Adam, you never believe it. I got a compass on my phone. And so on my phone, there is a compass. And one time deer hunting, I should have had this whip. But so here, this idea of this eternal abiding presence of God and the idea of true north. On this phone, and north, it says, is that way. But with a compass, you know what? I can jump up and down. I can go to the right or the left. I can spin around. I can cry. I can scream. I can do anything I want to do. But true north is not going to change on a compass. It's going to stay the same. And if there's any essence of this idea of eternal, it is God's true north. It's where he's at. He's in his heaven. He is with us. He is infinite. He will ever be. But the word describes his love for us as eternal, as we read in Psalm 136 a few moments ago. I love this simple verse that we learned as we were young, those of you who were churched, some of you were not churched. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but what? Have eternal life or everlasting life. Because that's his essence of love. It wasn't meant to be just something that is for our life now, something, it's an abiding presence that's here with us now, but it's going to last into eternity. He's arranged for eternal life. Dave went home to be with the Lord, our piano player up here a few weeks ago. I shared at his funeral, standing here, I was reading the scripture from Revelation 21, and we don't talk about it enough, about the streets of gold and about the fact that we're never going to have need light again, and about how the doors of heaven are giant pearls. Some of you ladies have worn a pearl. Some of you guys better not, okay? Some of you gals, the doors of heaven are like a giant pearl. He has prepared love, not just now, not just in your heart, but for you to experience on into eternity. God's love is eternal, is the way it is. So let's just wrap this up, and I'm done. Chris, if you want to come. So here's a question this morning. Does everyone in the community experience this kind of love? No. You said, Pastor, this morning at Walmart, there's a bunch of people at Walmart, there's a bunch of people at Lambeau Field, and I recognize some of them are believers that are there. But the person who doesn't acknowledge God in their everyday life, and they don't care, they're just living their life, they take it for granted that God created them, they've taken life for granted, are they going to experience the kind of love that I just talked to you about? The answer is no. Will they experience love? Yes, because they are made in the image of God. That's how come they know love. They can exercise and walk in a certain degree of love and even show love to you, but they will never experience the love that I just talked about. You say, Pastor, how can I experience the steadfast, faithful, and eternal love that you have talked about? Look at verse 15 back in your text. Here's what it says. It is for those. Whoever confesses Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. What I've talked to you about this morning is for you as believers, those that you have confessed Jesus. It's not the person down the street that doesn't know. You say, Pastor, I get so good. How can they experience love? Because they're made in the image of God. God made them. But this, what I'm talking about, is for you who have put Jesus first in your life. If you have not done that, I encourage you to do so today. Become a believer, become a follower of Jesus if you have not. Maybe some of you have thought about it, but you've not taken that step. How easy. Just confess Jesus as the Son of God. But now that's the first part. The second part is this. He wants that love reciprocated to him. You know what? Jesus is just like us. And he doesn't want to be used. He's just like you. You don't want your love used. He doesn't want his either. He doesn't want to just give and provide and take care of you. He doesn't want that and then just get used. He wants love from you reciprocated to him. That's why it says in verse 16. It says, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God. And what? And God in him. He's asking for it to be reciprocated. Is that hard or is that unreasonable? No, not at all. And I can tell you love him by the way you sing. So in summary, God and his love in us is steadfast, it's faithful, and it's eternal. In days this week, when Satan comes to rattle your cage, circumstances, you get a bad phone call, get a bad email, get bad news at work. You know, you say, okay, I got to deal with that. We're not denying reality. But you say, that's not the end result. That's not who I am. I am believing that I am loved by a God, his steadfast love, his faithful love, and his eternal love in my heart. How many of you are glad that we have that today? Let's stand together.